It's been, this is the longest we've gone without podcasting since
we started doing this. Yeah. I was talking about that with Chris a couple weeks ago when we still hadn't started break. Yet.
Yeah. And that made me realize that this is like the one way that you and I hang out.
That I also communicated that to Chris. I was like, it's weird because I feel like I don't spend any time with Becca anymore because we were doing this regularly. Yeah. And then we were playing games. Like, we haven't really played games either.
Dumb podcast. We haven't played games in a while. Everyone's been so busy. It's summer. Everyone's busy in the summer.
There's new Mario Kart tracks. We have to play games, I think, Thursday. Thursday is games day.
I think I can do Thursday, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Perfect.
Great.
Anyway, so Star Trek. So I guess, first of all, we should introduce ourselves because I realize that we don't do that each new episode. So I was listening to a bunch of podcasts on this most recent road trip, and they start every episode by introducing themselves. And it's nice because if you start on a random episode, you know who the people are.
This episode's more of a serial, though. Like, you're supposed to listen to it in order.
Well, fine. All right.
No, we can. No, go ahead. You know what? It's, we haven't been on here in like 3 years, so you introduce you first.
All right. Well, I'm Becca, I guess.
Yeah. You're just going to go with that?
That's me.
Hi, I'm Jessica Quiroga, and I'll be performing the role of Jessica on this podcast.
Nice. Yeah, I'm glad that someone's doing that part. That's a tough one.
Honestly, the character itself, yeah, like getting in the mind of the character, you know how sometimes people, when they play the Joker, they accidentally do murders? It's kind of the same thing where to inhabit Jessica as a character, you've got to be ready to kill for no reason, really, you know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like I nailed that. I conveyed that in the audition when I killed a production assistant.
Space. It's a place. And a bunch of people are going to space. The final frontier. Where no one's gone before. The people who go to space are members of an elite squad known as the Starfleet. These are their stories.
Okay, so I feel like we owe a little bit of an explanation because we took a really long hiatus. And I'll be honest, I didn't think anybody would care because we have like 5 fans, but people really cared.
Like, yeah, shocking. All 5 of you reached out and were like, what the fuck is going on? I need the Star Trek
people
podcast.
People really love listening to me not know anything about Star Trek, which I don't understand. It'd be like if I listened to a podcast where like somebody was watching The Office for the first time and I'd be like, this is a painful experience. But people seem to really love it. So
would that be painful? Yeah. I feel like that'd be fun because you would anticipate them talking about things you care deeply about.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So for context, we got all thrown off. Basically, we recorded, the last time we did an episode was early May, and it's now August. And what happened was, I got COVID really bad. I had a real bad case of getting COVID.
Yeah, you hate to see that.
I was pretty much out of commission for like 10 days, and I didn't have a voice. So that would have made podcasting really difficult. Mm-hmm. Finally tested negative. Flew out to California, hung out with Jess. Still, my voice was still really messed up. So I couldn't talk for more than like 10 minutes without needing to cough. So that would have made podcasting difficult. We tried to sing and do some music while I was there. I, like, couldn't.
It went okay.
It was really embarrassing. And then there was a lot of traveling that happened. And then I went to Michigan for a month, for the whole month of July.
And didn't take a microphone. Even though I said, remember to take your microphone and do podcast.
I know.
Well, because I was like, I don't want to fit it in my luggage. We tried to. We couldn't find a good time to schedule. Now, to be fair, all of June was Pride Month for me. So, like, you came. My family came.
Right.
RSA happened.
And then it was Pride Month.
And then it was Pride Month. So I was completely wrapped up in June. And then you were gone all of January or July. And now here we are in August, you know.
Summer really went by fast. And it's, I think I was talking to somebody about this recently, where, like, I operate on waves of stuff happening. And I've realized that I pretty much hibernate for, like, all of January and February.
So and that's like, when we do our best podcasting.
Yeah. I was looking back on the last few months, and I was just like, literally every weekend and evening for the last couple months has been things. Like, I haven't really had any weekends where there hasn't been something, or work traveling, or there's some, which I love. Like, I loved being this busy, and it's been really fun. But yeah, it is like halfway through June now. I guess it's the first week of June or August. Fuck.
Yeah. Do you know where you are? Who is the president?
No. It's like a quarter of the way through August now somehow, and yeah. So it was just 2022 is really happening very quickly.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, when you get bad COVID, that makes a month go by really fast, because you're just dead to the wind, basically.
You didn't have it for a month. She really did only have it for like 10 days, but she was dying.
It was
And she's
very
got the brain
bad.
Fog, because she seems real stupid lately.
No, I had it, like, genuinely had it for 10 days. 5 days, I would say, were really bad. And then the other five, I was still testing positive and couldn't talk really well. And then just for like, I would say a month and a half afterwards, couldn't do any kind of exercise. And if I were like sitting down and then like stood up, my heart rate would go up to like 135. So
we did most of the big walk though while you were here. You did okay.
I did, but like my heart rate was at like 160 the whole time. Just normal walking heart rate, you know.
You're getting the splat points. That's great. He's burned some
yeah
calories.
So it was really frustrating. Just like I wouldn't say it was long COVID in the sense that I wasn't like sick for a long time. It was just like couldn't exercise, couldn't do my normal level of activity. It was just kind of frustrating, and I was just very tired. But I'm completely better now, which is really nice. So
good.
Anyway, should we talk about Voyager?
Yeah, as they do in Voyager, let's talk about
Voyager.
Do you want the overview? Because I feel like it's been so long since I gave you the overview. Do you just want to get into it? I'm good either way.
I want to get into it because I feel like the details that you would tell me in the overview will come up anyway.
Okay.
I know the gist of Voyager, right, the context that I picked up on was that they didn't know that they were going to be stranded for this long. And they're like out on a ship and they're coming back from somewhere, something.
Yeah,
they got like
yeah
shot out to the middle of nowhere and then they got to go back.
Basically. Yeah.
And okay. And so they're, yeah. So now they got to go back and it's going to take forever.
What happens is, like, if you think of our galaxy, right, you've got four quadrants. They just cut it up into little squares. And does that make sense in 3D space? Not so much. But when you look at it, it's like you're looking at the Milky Way like it's a plate, and they cut quarters into that plate. And as you look at it, the bottom left quarter is the alpha quadrant. Then to the right is the beta quadrant. Up and across is the gamma quadrant. And to the right is the delta quadrant. So completely
this
opposite
feels like
from
a detail
us
that's kind of irrelevant other than they're going to be
well
on
just
opposite
so you
ends
know. Yeah, they're on the opposite side of the galaxy. 70,000 light years to get home, which is about 70 years at maximum warp, which they can't even do all the time because, like, they don't have power refills, they don't have star bases, they don't have supplies, so they have to, like, find stuff as they go.
So, yeah, so they're not even going to make it back. It's going to be, like, their children's children.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Some of the younger people, I mean, lifespans in the 24th century are higher, but they're also away from regular Starfleet medical care. so they don't necessarily have all the resources to keep them super healthy. But like Dr. McCoy, we saw him in the first episode of Next Generation. He's 138, so.
Yeah.
He looked terrible.
Because I know at one point, Janeway says something, we'll get to it, but she says something about like, I still think I'll see Mark again someday.
Yeah.
I have a feeling she's not going to, but.
Well, you know, you miss the dick you got at home when you're far away.
Yeah. Just use the dick you have, I guess.
Yeah. Gotta make do.
Should we talk about the episodes we watched?
Yeah.
I watched two episodes. I watched them again today just to make sure I was refreshed because it's been
nice.
A while.
I have not watched them in a while, so you're going to be ahead of me.
Nice. So I watched the episode Tuvix and the episode One Step Closer.
One Small Step. One Step Closer. One Small I just Step. Listened to the Linkin Park song for an hour. I guess in the end it didn't really matter.
Something Step. All I wrote in my notes for that episode was, well, for the title, I wrote One Step.
One Step.
So.
It's the song from Aladdin.
Okay. So I guess we can talk about Tuvix first.
Yeah.
This was the one you and I watched together in San Francisco, and then I watched it again today. So the premise of this, I guess for your 10,000 foot overview, is you've got Tuvok and Neelix, and Tuvok is a Vulcan.
Correct.
And Neelix is annoying.
I mean, where's the lie, right? Here's the thing, he grows on you.
So okay, so the first line in my notes is I think we had taken like half an edible and then watched this, because the first line in my notes is Captain's Log, day 42069. supplemental.
We out here cannot find a taco bell.
So Tuvok and Neelix are down on this planet and they're collecting orchids. And Neelix is super pumped. He's like, the sun is shining, it's a beautiful day. And Tuvok is like, go fuck yourself.
But he says it all logically. He's like, perhaps it would be best if you were to fuck yourself.
Yeah, and it's like funny, like Neelix keeps prodding him, even though he knows he's a Vulcan. He's like, why can't you just enjoy the day? It's like, he can't. Like...
It's like when you go somewhere with David and he's like, I don't like this. And you're like, it's beautiful.
And he's like, I guess.
This is football.
Also, Neelix gets like really bursts his bubble. This is where I'm kind of on Tuvok's side, because Neelix is like over his shoulder and like touching him. And he's like, just look at how beautiful it is. And I'm like, I would hate this guy. I would really hate him. And so... they then get beamed back up, but there's a problem. Something goes wrong, and their DNA merges. All the cells of their body merge, and so
holy
they become one
shit.
Person. And there's just this now this guy who has all the annoying personality traits of Neelix, but the dickishness of Tuvok. So he's like the worst guy. He's like...
I feel like people liked him though.
I know I was supposed to by the end of it, but I just felt like he got like the worst qualities of both of those guys. So this one had like, we'll get into it, but it did have an interesting ethical conundrum in the end that
That's why I picked it.
Yeah, similar to was it the fur? No, wait, was it in the original series or no? It was in the Next Generation. With Data being a person, and that was interesting too. So this was like similarly like a kind of a conundrum. So he comes back up to the ship, and everyone's like, "Oh fuck!" And that's when I met Kes? The lady
Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes-Kes Oh, it's Kes.
Is her name Kes?
Kes. K-E-S.
Yeah. Kes Kesey.
Yeah.
So she apparently was dating Neelix.
Which is real weird.
Presumably pretty seriously, which, yeah, is nutso to me, because Neelix is fucking weird looking. I'm sorry.
Wow. That's super racist.
No, it just was his hair. It was, like, all thin and... falling out.
Wow. Our thin-haired listeners are going to be very offended.
And he had a giant forehead. You know how I feel about men with giant
foreheads.
You know,
here's the thing about Neelix is he loves James Taylor. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, my God. No, don't do this to me.
Okay, so he's out. He's talking with Cass. He meets Cass.
So he's talking with Cass, and Cass is like, oh, no, because now neither of these men exist anymore. Now it's just this new guy, Tuvix, he decides that his name is. We haven't gotten to it yet, but
I just have a line in my stupid
notes. Yeah, so I take notes in the notes app line by line. It's just bullet points of random thoughts as we go. And I wrote, this lady was dating Neelix, parentheses, the annoying one, and now she seems sad. Honestly, she can do better. And then the next line after that is just a single line that just says, bad hair.
Wait, is Kess's hair bad?
No, I liked her hair. Okay. It was presumably Tuvix's hair.
Oh, yeah. No, it was real bad. Real
super,
bad.
Super, super bad. So then the doctor is like, we got to look at this guy because what the hell? They're like, oh, my God, all of his cells, all the cells have merged. He says he has the memory of both of the men. But now he exists as his own personality, which is strange. So he goes and gets checked out by the doctor, and then he comes back and he says, I was prodded in organs I didn't even know I had. And I'm curious from that line, because presumably both men had the same organs the beginning.
No, they're different.
Well, are the genitals different? Like what?
Oh, I don't. What makes you think he was talking about his genitals?
What are the organs that would be different?
Like you have other organs. Like you have a pancreas, right? I don't.
What?
No, but I don't know. Not everybody has the same organs in Star Trek. Like Klingons have, we talked about this before, they have double organs for something. So they have like four lungs, two stomachs, and presumably two dicks. Now that's an episode I'd watch. Two dicks.
Not to be confused with Tuvix.
Yeah, this is a sequel. It's the porn parody of Voyager called Two Dicks.
Two Dicks. Okay, so then the doctor says he has Tuvok's sense of superiority and Neelix's annoying enthusiasm. And I was like, yeah, this guy nailed it. So he's basically like, this guy fucking sucks and I don't want to be around him.
That's great. Love to hear
that. So then they're in a briefing talking about how this could have happened. They're talking about the flowers, right? Because they then have another guy go to the planet and bring back the flowers, which to me seems bold because this, you know, this mix-up just happened. So imagine
they went in a shuttlecraft the second time.
Okay. I was like, imagine being the guy that has to get beamed up right after.
You're like,
what if I get merged with like an animal?
I'll just walk. I'm gonna walk home. Just throw me a rope.
So they bring back some flowers and they're in a briefing and they're discussing like, what is it with the flowers' DNA that could have caused this? Like, what's going on? And then Tuvix is in the back of this meeting room and he just goes, sex! Yeah, he blurts out.
He does. He does yell sex.
Sex.
That's what Neelix would do all the time with that guy.
And it turns out he was, like, talking about how this type of flower could make a hybrid of itself. Or so I didn't really... He brought up some biology stuff, and I tuned out.
Tuvok was like an amateur botanist, basically, so he had some understanding of plants. But yeah, the plant itself is what caused their DNA to merge. Beaming with the plant, the transporter's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. And it's like, these all go together.
Yep. Okay. So they discover the reasoning, basically. So then what happens is, Kes starts to spend more time with this Tuvix guy because she was dating Neelix before. So Tuvix, who has all the memories of Neelix, presumably has seen her naked.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah. What if I cook you dinner? Like, just like the old times. I'll make you your favorite meal. And she's like, okay. Then he does it and she still feels really weird. And then he comes to her room in the middle of the night and she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I love you. And she's like... No. And then he leaves. And it's a big bummer.
It's like, okay, well, I tried.
I tried. He's like, well,
gotta shoot your shot.
She's like, well, good thing we're stuck together for the rest of forever on this ship. Cool. So then she goes to Janeway's room. She's like, yeah, he just came and he told me he loved me. And Janeway's like, do you love him? And she's like, fuck no.
Have you seen his hair? Like,
straight up, no, dude. Like, no.
She's like, I miss Neelix's doughier body.
Yeah. This guy's like a dickish Neelix. So she's super bummed. And Janeway's advice is basically just like, suck it up. Except that the worst has happened.
This is life now.
Janeway is like, yeah, I'm never going to see my husband again. So, sucks.
Sucks to suck. The important context, though, to have there, too, is that they couldn't reverse it. During this period, they're like, we can't fix the doctor, it. This is the guy.
This was right after the doctor was like, yeah, this is how it is now. I don't think I can fix this.
Yeah, I'm so busy. So, I got games to play.
I got stuff to do. And then I have a line here that says, if she has sex with Tuvix, does it count as cheating?
Probably does a little. It? Yeah.
A little.
Because Tuvok's in there going, oh, no. Because here's the other thing. Tuvok is married and has kids.
Ooh, yeah.
They're back in the Alpha Quadrant, but they're people.
Yeah, because Tuvix says that. And he's like, I have all the same love that I have for you as I have for Tuvix's wife. Like, that's gonna make her more convinced for sure.
Yeah, maybe like the three of us, I don't know, we just get a place together or something
random. That would be crazy, right?
Yeah, but like, could you imagine that? We could, can we,
Cass? Could we? That would be silly.
But like,
tongue out emoji. Love. Okay.
He's on the ship. He's like, computer, please send Kes one winky face tongue out emoji.
Ah. Okay, so then it cuts to, a little montage of time passing, basically. And mm-hmm. Tuvix is trying to fit in on the ship as his own person. And everybody kind of doesn't like him because he's, well, it depends. So the people that were close to Tuvok or Neelix before don't really like Tuvix because now neither of those guys exist anymore. But this guy, this new person, is just trying to fucking exist. He's like, well, I could be the chef or I could be whatever, like in charge
tactical.
Of...
Yeah, tactical and security tactical. Chief. That's weapons, shields, putting people in jail, doing back rows.
Yeah. So he's trying to be helpful. He fixes some stuff and makes people happy and they're like, wow, he's really smart. He's actually pretty useful because he's got this odd combination of knowledge, right? I did make a note about how a lot of the characters in Voyager seem to have the transatlantic accent. Like the accent that rich people use that sounds slightly British.
Do they? I guess I've never thought that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they don't speak very casually. I can say, but it's enunciated well, but it didn't seem like it didn't sound British to me, I guess.
It's not British. Just look up like the transatlantic
accent. No, I know what it is. I've looked.
Yeah, it's the accent that a lot of people in like black and white movies use. it sounds very sophisticated.
Oh, I've never thought that about them. If anything, they've got like that same kind of Midwest accent that you see in a lot of newscasters, so they just sound the same everywhere.
Maybe. But I did make a note about that. Mm. I have a line that just, there's no context to it. I just said they literally made Tuvix so fucking ugly.
Like, wow.
They
He's
didn't
a person
have to
underneath
make
that.
Him that ugly. Just so ugly.
You're just really tearing into this guy.
And I don't know why they did
guy.
That to him. I didn't enjoy looking at him.
Made me uncomfortable and angry.
So what happens is, at the end of this all, like, basically the doctor figures it out. He figures out how to split these two flowers into mm-hmm. two separate flowers. That was their like experiment. He's like, look, we did it. It's going to be, first of all, he goes, it's going to be 100% safe. Like, I've accounted for every variable, which is not how science works. And like,
he's a doctor.
Test it on a flower and be like, yeah, 100%. This is going to go great.
It translates one to one to people.
Yeah. Don't worry. But the wrench, so everyone's like, great, awesome. But at this point, it's been 2 weeks since this first happened. And Tuvix is like, I don't want you to do this. Like, it's kind of selfish, in my opinion. But
really? He's got a right to exist, Becca.
But he's denying two other people the right to exist, right? Like, that's where it's to me, it's like the trolley problem, right?
Yeah. Would you kill Neelix and Tuvok or just Tuvix?
Yes.
That should have been the art for this episode, is them but tied to the train tracks.
The trolley
problem. And it's Voyager and the captain's at the thing. I bet someone has made this meme online. I don't got to look it up right now, but I bet someone has.
So Tuvix doesn't want to die. He says he won't consent. The doctor's like, well, if he doesn't consent, I'm not going to do this. I wrote, the doctor is refusing to do it because of HIPAA.
HIPAA. It's a HIPAA violation. Yeah, it
violates Tuvix's HIPAA. I have another line in my notes. It just says, this would be way sadder if Tuvix wasn't so fucking ugly.
Why? You really are laying into the guy.
I'm sorry.
Hey, he can't hurt you anymore.
I'm not going to lie about what I wrote down. This is my honest to God thoughts as I was watching this episode, I guess. Oh my God. Oh, did somebody make it?
Is that what I just sent it to you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Truly,
the I'm gonna tweet it from the account
coming this week.
Yeah, incoming transmission.
So aside from that, the doctor's like, I'm not gonna do it if he doesn't consent. So Tuvix,
which is fair because Tuvix is a real dude.
He is, and that's 100% fair. Like, it would be murder to do that without his consent. Like, you'd be destroying him as a person, so he has to volunteer to do it. He goes to Kes's room and is like, please convince them to not kill me. And like, TBH, she's the wrong person to be talking to,
because she is not into you, because
she's like, I let it go, fully want them to kill you.
just 100% I would love for you to be dead.
So she goes to Janeway and she's like, yeah, he came to me and was like, please don't let them kill me. And here's the thing, I don't care if he dies. Like, she's straight up just like, yeah, I just want Neelix back. And this is where my notes cut off, and my toxic trait is, I guess, that I just don't know how this ended. Because I think I fell asleep
today
when I was watching.
That's like the most important part of it. That is the most important part.
I'm assuming that they do split each other. They get split back, right?
So let me tell you what happens, right? Tuvix knows they're going to do it. And he's on the bridge. He's at Tuvok's station, the tactical station. And Janeway's like, Mr. Tuvix, please come with me to sick bay. And he throws a fit. He's like, oh, fuck no. And a security officer comes out to escort him down there. And on the bridge, he's yelling at everybody. He's like, you are all witnesses to this. You are allowing this.
Yeah. Yes.
So he eventually stops. He sees, I'm not going to get anywhere. They escort him down to sick bay. And that's where the doctor keeps saying, no, I'm not doing this. I already told you. So it's all programmed in the computer. And Janeway does it. Janeway's the one that says, I will take this on. It's my responsibility as captain. It's my crew. And she's weighing like the needs of the expertise of Tuvok, probably more than Neelix, but the needs of having those two crewmen back versus just the one.
She makes a purely logical decision.
Yes. the Vulcans describe that, and I'm sure you've heard it, as the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. But typically in Star Trek, we've seen it the other way. Like, if you think of Star Trek 3, where they go find Spock at the risk of everybody and they blow up the original Enterprise and all this stuff just to save Spock, they flipped it there. But in this case, they're like, we need them. And as you know, their situation, they're so far away. So they're like, yeah, you got to have your guy that makes really bad coffee in the kitchen. So,
well, I just, to me, it was simple too, because it's like two people who have full lives and have been alive for this whole time, or this one dude who like only exists because these two people don't exist anymore. So,
but he is still their memories.
Like, I know it's very complicated. I know.
Yeah, it's not an easy question, but in the end, she does it, and there's this. It basically ends right there. Like, we see them separated. Kes hugs Neelix. Everybody's fine. They don't really ever follow up on it. But when she leaves sickbay right after that, like, you can see the emotions play across her face. It's why I like Captain Janeway, is because she got to be, I think, more than Captain Picard, especially, got to be like a full person with big feelings and stuff. And it's a good moment. But yeah, so she is the one that ultimately presses the button to separate them.
Yep. Yep. But yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was interesting. Should we? Do you have questions? The pre-prepared questions.
I mean, like, we've got the standard kind of set that, like, you gave us the explanation. We know the main character was kind of Tuvix. It's like a Tuvix and Janeway episode. Like, it's big stuff for their characters. Yep. What else? What did you like about it?
Like I said, I like the ethical problem there. Like, this, it is like the definition of an ethical dilemma, because there's no right or wrong answer. It's like you have to weigh out what is more important. And I liked seeing that play out. I mean, this was the first. It's the problem with this this podcast is I get like rapidly introduced to these characters. So it's like, but I can tell that this was an episode that had a lot of character development, especially for Janeway. Because for Kes as well, because you get to like see them go through this kind of thing. I thought it was strange that it was like really almost no grieving on the part of Kes. Like, she wasn't super emotional, which to me was strange, because it's like, if this person that you love is just like gone, it was odd, because he's not gone, but he is. And she,
I think that's like, why it was hard for us. Yeah.
But she's just kind of bummed. She's not like devastated. Oh, dang. And that to me was really strange.
She just kind of went,
but anyway, yeah.
And moved on.
I liked the ethical question there, and that kind of dilemma. It was very fascinating.
The other part of it, and I don't know if they mentioned it in there, if you knew, but Tuvok and Janeway were like BFF. So they had known each other for years and years and years. And
she talked about how the letters that he had sent her.
Yeah. So like it was hard for her. Like, Janeway was who missed Tuvok, and Kes missed Neelix. They might have been the only ones who missed Neelix, though. So I know you thought the guy was ugly, which you didn't like. That's like your big hate of this episode.
That 100%. I don't know why they had to do that to my boy Tuvix. Like,
he should have been super hot, just to really hammer home what you were doing.
Yeah, why'd they have to do him like that?
Like, he's like 7 foot. He looks like the Chad meme, but with the bad hair still. He's got to have the bad hair, because that's what Neelix had.
But even Neelix's hair wasn't that bad, I feel. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It was weird hair. It was weird hair. So the episode itself, there are people online who hate Janeway because of this. They're like, she's really ethically dangerous. We got to get her out of here. She doesn't belong in Starfleet. She shouldn't be captain. I think a lot of it is just because they hate women, is some of the impression I get. But I'm like, that is a situation that can happen. There's an episode of Enterprise that revisits something similar, and I haven't decided if I'm going to have you watch that or not. But it's really good. It's to me, it's much more emotional than this one. But I won't go into details in case I have you watch it, because Enterprise is our next one of these. But people online to this day, like, that episode came out in 94 or 95 or something. We're fully like 30 years on here, and people still rag on Janeway for this. As you can see in the meme, like, this meme didn't exist in 1994. So someone has made that recently, and they're like, look at this shit.
This bitch.
So it's a big deal. Yeah, they hated that. But I, it's an episode I like, but I picked it, yeah, because there was an interesting ethical question there, which I knew you'd like from Measure of a Man, which was the Next Generation episode. It's not really, to me, it's not a bad episode of Voyager. Neither the ones I gave you of Voyager are ones that I considered bad, because as we've gone on here, I'm more interested in showing you ones that are interesting. But it's hard to pick because, as you've said, we said in each one, you don't get all the character development and everything like that.
Yep. Yep. But no, I liked it. I thought it was interesting.
Nice. The theme song for the show I really like. I don't know if we talked about that when we watched it here.
Yeah,
but
it was catchy.
So the person who wrote that is Jerry Goldsmith, who also did... he's a famous movie composer, but he did Star Trek, like the original Star Trek theme, the one we recorded for the podcast. He's the composer of that. Yeah, and then they used it for Next Generation, and he did several of the movies, a couple of which are like some of my favorite soundtracks. But he did the TV show, and it won an Emmy for television composition or whatever, I don't know, theme song, but it was a big win. So it's a good song. I actually really like it. There's a version online that some poor person recorded like 15 to 20 years ago. I guess couldn't have been 20.
Person, Jessica?
No, some poor person. Not a poor person, but someone, you know, clearly they recorded this not realizing that YouTube was forever. And I'll send it to you afterwards. It's called Star Trek Voyager Theme with Lyrics. It's a trip. Once you hear it that way, you're always going to hear it when you watch the show, assuming you watch the show. Yeah. So, Oh, cool. We'll take a break. We'll hear from one of our many sponsors of this podcast. Obviously, they recognize high quality products and weren't mad that we took 3 months off. And we'll be right back.
Thanks to our sponsors, the real ones.
Sticking with us. They really believe in us. Sticking with
us through it all. They believe in our vision.
Yeah. Rapunki, when he joined the Seven. Zinda, his eyes red. Kiazi's children, their faces wet. The river to Mark in winter. Kira Ebashi. Zinda, his eyes red. Shaka when the walls fell. Darmok, on the ocean. Temba, his arms wide. By Karadine. Temba, by Karadine. Temba at rest. Zinda, his face black, his eyes red. Kito, his eyes closed. Kadir beneath Momoteth. Temba, his arms wide, by Karadine. Zinda, his eyes red, the beast at Tanagra. The river to Mark. The river to Mark in winter, by Karadine. Kalemas at Barhar, Sokoth, his eyes uncovered. Darmok and Jalad on the ocean. Mirab with sails unfurled, Temba by Karadine.
We're back. We're here to talk about One Step Closer.
And I'm about to break.
Yeah, so another good episode, I would say. This one I put on when I first watched it. I was doing stuff in the background. I was like doing laundry. And within like, I would say 5 minutes, I was like on the floor, just like sitting there watching. I wanted to know what would happen.
Like, holy shit.
Like, oh my God.
Are they going to be okay?
Are they going to make it? I can't breathe. That'll become relevant later.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So this episode starts with what turns out to be a flashback. So it is a flashback to 2032, and it is a guy who's doing some Mars stuff. You ever just do Mars stuff, you know?
Oh, I do almost every day. Yeah.
Yeah. His name is John Kelly, which is also the name of the astronaut from Arizona who's in the Senate. Which I also
I didn't know that. I never made that connection.
So So yeah, so he is a astronaut and he's doing Mars stuff, and he's all of a sudden he's doing his little log video, and then he's like, there's something coming at me, oh no. And it kind of cuts out with him being like, it's probably just a solar flare. And then he, you know, he loses signal. Then we flash forward to modern day with modern Star Trek day.
The old Voyagers, as they say.
As they say in Voyager, let's do that Voyager. Let's do that voyage. That we cut to modern day, and there's a character sitting in his study. He was not in the last episode. And he is listening to jazz, just having a little, you know, me time. And then he starts to feel this rumble, and he's like, uh-oh. And then stuff stops working, so he's like trying to get out of his room, and the door won't open, and the transmissions are all buggy, and he's like, oh no. So he leaves his room. He finds a new Borg lady. There's a Borg lady. Her name is Seven. I know she's a Borg lady. Because I have, by proxy of living with David, seen bits and bits of Star Trek Discovery? Picard. Yeah. She's in Picard. So she is part Borg. Very serious. And the actress that they found to play the woman in Picard looks just like her, which is very cool.
It is, in fact, the same actress.
What? Oh, my God. She looks incredible. Stop. I just thought they found a lookalike.
Why? Why would you think this is only 30 years? I mean, she's aged, but she does look amazing. Yeah.
She looks amazing.
Yeah. Well, are yeah, you going to look her up like, right now?
Yeah, what's the actress's name? I'm sorry.
Jeri Ryan. J-E-R-I.
That, my mind is blown.
It's the exact, yeah, it's the same actress. I'm surprised. I guess you don't know her that well. She must have been in like her mid-20s when she took on Voyager.
So she's in her 50s now?
Yeah. So let me explain where she came from. Because you're right, she wasn't in the episode you saw. So after season three, or towards the end of season three of Voyager, they were going to cut either Kes or Harry Kim. I don't remember if you've really spent much time with Harry Kim, but he's the ensign on the bridge. Everyone's always like, Kim, you idiot.
Yes.
I liked him. When I was a kid, I thought I liked him and Commander Paris, or Lieutenant Paris. They were both good characters. I liked them. And they're best friends. They had this cute little friendship. But towards the end of that third season, the ratings were down and they were like, we got to do something. We got to sex it up, because they were on UPN and UPN was like, we need more sex on our shows. People just, when they think Star Trek, they need to think fucking. So they were going to get rid of one of those characters. But what happened was the actor who plays Harry Kim, Garrett Wong, was voted sexiest man alive, or one of TV's sexiest people by TV Guide or something like that. And they're like, fuck, we can't get rid of him. So they got rid of Kes, and that actress went and kind of had a very difficult life after that. But she was let go from the show, and they brought Seven of Nine on. And you may have noticed, Seven of Nine has giant breasts, and I assume the Borg did that, and they keep like Borg stuff in there. But they brought her in there, and they made her wear all these cat suits and shit. Like, she only wore a uniform two or three times for not real reasons. They never let her wear the uniform, and they're like, oh, she needs this for Borg stuff because she was Borg. So her character is actually a human they met when Voyager traveled through Borg space, so they saw a lot of Borg stuff. And Seven of Nine was like this facilitator for this alliance that Janeway did with the Borg, which is another thing people hate about her. And Janeway ends up bringing her on board, forcing her to become human, and then trying to teach her about humanity. So the second half of the series after season three really becomes almost exclusively about Seven of Nine, or the Doctor, who's a hologram and also was learning how to be a sentient being, because he was never supposed to be on as long as he was. I wanted you to see more of his journey, but it was too spread out over the whole show, so it would have been hard to find just one episode for that, but...
Okay.
So she came on and kind of became like that outsider character, like Spock was, like Data was, like Odo was, who was the shapeshifter in Deep Space Nine, and then now like the Doctor in Seven of Nine. But she's great. Everybody really liked her. She's the reason that Rosie is bi. That's how Rosie figured that out, is my understanding.
Wow. All right. Well, history. Yeah, so she came on the screen and David was in the room and he just goes, she's on the show because they wanted to have more boobs on the show.
As I said, he said it better than me.
Yeah, more succinct, but yeah.
David always gets right to the point.
Yeah.
Right to the point. That was weird.
Right to the nip. So she recognizes this thing on the map and she's like, that is Borg anomaly, blah, blah, blah. Like, the Borg had seen this thing before and it's the same thing that sucked up the ship from the Mars guy in the flashback. It looks like a big sun that's like flying at them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't outrun it. It just keeps coming faster. It's basically like attracted to their electromagnetic signals. So one of them is like, well, here's what we do. We turn off all the electric stuff and then we just like blast away and it'll leave us behind. And Janeway and some others are like, but what if we could study it? Because wouldn't that be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we're explorers. That's what we do. And Seven is like, that's dumb.
You sound so dumb right now.
You guys sound so dumb right now.
Like ooh, why would we? Science? Jesus Christ, just keep flying.
Why don't we just keep flying? This is stupid.
Yeah, I have places to be.
And honestly, she makes a lot of sense. She's like, why would we do that? This could be dangerous. Like, we should just not. Have we considered just not? They don't consider just not. Janeway is like, this is
they don't not void. They do
I'm pretty sure she says the name of the show. She's like, we are Voyagers.
We are Star Trek Voyager.
This is what we do. And so they decide to send her and Jazz Guy and someone else.
That's Chakotay for those of you playing at home.
Okay. And
probably B'Elanna.
Third guy. He was unremarkable, so I don't remember anything about him. Mm. So they go on a ship that had a silly name.
The Delta Flyer, and it is a good ship.
The Delta Flyer.
They designed that there.
So they go on that. So they go on the Delta Flyer, which sounds like a shuttle you would take at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport. Let's be honest. They're like, oh, if you park, hey, welcome to DTW. If you parked extra far away, you can just hop right on the Delta Flyer. We'll get you to the airport in 15 minutes or less or your money back.
You won't end up in the Delta Quadrant. Don't ask questions.
All right. So they are on the Delta Flyer and they fly into the sun thing. It just doesn't seem smart to me. Mm-hmm, they go in there and they're like, oh, there's other spaceships in here just destroyed, floating around. Seems ominous to me. At that point, I would be like, let's get the fuck out of here. And that's what Seven says. She's like, let's get the fuck out of here. And Janeway is like, yeah, get the fuck out of there. Like, you guys got to get out of there. And what's his name? Chakotay.
We'll talk about him a little bit, too.
So he's like, no, I want to get on board. He recognizes the ship somehow. He knows that it's the ship, the Mars guy's ship, John Kelly's ship. He's like, I want to get on that because he was collecting data on this thing and we should get on there and get his data. And because we're scientists. And Janeway's like, no, that's an order. Get out of there. You're all going to die. Because important context, the sun blob thing that they are stuck inside is now hurling at dark matter.
Dark matter nebula, maybe, I think it was.
Yeah. And so she's like, you got 15 seconds to get out of there. And he's like, nope, we're gonna stay. They get blasted, ass blasted by this dark matter. And Chakotay gets zapped, and as it's described, and he's like down for the count. So then what happens is Seven is super pissed at him. She's like, we were supposed to get out of here, and instead now we're stuck here because they get ass blasted by the dark matter, and then none of their technology works. Their ship, their little, the Delta Flyer shuttle, Delta Terminal DTW shuttle is no longer working. And And so she's like, now we're stuck here. The other ship can't come get us out. We're going to die here because you were selfish because you had to do science. Mm. We should have just been safe. And so he's like, well, while we're here, we're stuck here anyway. You might as well go on John Kelly's ship and see what he's got. So she does. They send her on this little transport thing and she goes on to John Kelly's ship. And that's when they find that when they thought that he had gotten blown up by this blob of space energy, whatever,
previously. It's a graviton ellipse is what it's called, Becca. Okay. You did physics for a little while. You don't know that?
So they thought, everyone on the outside thought that he died immediately and he died a hero because whatever. And it turns out that wasn't true. He was alive for like a month or two while he was in this ship by himself inside of this mass. And so they have all his logs. And so Seven's just like looking around the ship and she plays his like log videos while she's looking around. And he's like, oh gosh, I'm stuck here. Well, I'm going to start collecting data anyway because like what the fuck else is there to do? Then he looks out his window and sees like other spacecraft floating around in it, and it like is proof that there's other intelligent life because like no spacecrafts from Earth have ever encountered this thing before. So he's like, wow, at least I got that going for me. Like this was worth it because we discovered that there's aliens.
Because he did like, science.
And he's like, I owe someone a lot of money because they told me they saw an alien once. And I was like, you're dumb. So I got to make up to them. And I got to apologize when I get home. And then, you know, you see him kind of deteriorate over the course of a month. And this is all while Seven is like looking around the ship for his data and whatever. And you see him start to kind of starve and go a little bit crazy. And eventually he's like dying and it's quite sad because he's like holding up this picture of his wife and he's like, oh, I got one last shot. I got enough fuel to try this one more time. And he tries and the thing fails. And so then he's like actually stuck. So he ends up dying and it's really sad because like right before he dies, he's like, oh God, I'm never going to know who won the World Series, which was context because at the first scene of the show, he's talking about the Yankees to, like, his buddy on the other end of the radio. So he's like, oh, God, I'm never going to know who won the World Series because he didn't have any communication during this time, and the World Series would have been happening around then because it was October. So he dies, and Seven is, like, quite sad because she's been listening to all these things. And, well, maybe she's not sad because she seems a little incapable of that at this time.
But so she's as sad as she can be.
Exactly. So she finds his little data thing, and then she walks over to his body, which apparently was there the whole time. We, the viewers, just realized that she has been in the room with the dead body the whole time, and she's just been like totally chill about that.
She's Borg. She adapted. It's fine. She doesn't care.
Because I was low-key, like, watching his log videos, and like, this is how we're going to find out that he, like, ejected himself from the ship, and he made it, and some, but no.
Aliens saved him, and he went on to marry aliens.
Yeah, no. So, he is there, and she basically pins her little Star Trek pin to him, and she's like, okay, beam me and my fancy pin up. And so they do that, and so then
she has like this brooch and it's, I don't know, everybody's got the same brooch, which seems weird, but maybe it's just the style in the 24th century.
I know, that's what it looks like. It looks like a pin. Shut up.
You got a cool adventure badge.
Yeah, you earn that when you do 3 adventures by yourself.
Yeah. Everybody on the ship has them, even Neelix, which means he's not too bad.
So they beam her back and she's like, wow, we got all this cool data. And they end up getting pulled out of the gravitational, whatever, the solar flare that's flying.
You're doing better. Yeah. You're doing real good.
They get pulled out. They get pulled back. and she has recovered all this data that they discover, and it's like all this cool new elements that they never knew about, and like alloys and things that they didn't even know existed. And yeah, so Janeway's psyched because they got all this cool information. And then they have a little space funeral for John Kelly because they brought his body back. And so they do a little space funeral, and it's very sad. And then at the very end, Seven goes up to his casket, and she goes, "The Yankees won. They won 6 games." And it was like,
oh. That's terrible. I hate the Yankees.
It's like she went and looked up World Series 2032. Like, this is very sweet.
Good. Yes. Yeah, no,
I'm like tearing up right now.
No, for real, I cry every time I watch that episode. And I know what's going to happen. There are a handful of Star Trek episodes that will make me sob every time. Like, there's one of Deep Space Nine I can't even watch right now because it's about Captain Sisko and his son, Jake. And I was like, if I watch that now that my dad's dead, I'm going to be a wreck for like a week. So I don't watch those. But this one is one that I'm like, oh, so emotional. That's why I picked it, is it was like, I felt like it had good emotion to it, just good feelings. And you get to see Seven kind of do like, she her whole thing is like, I got to learn how to be a human because I was Borg. She was assimilated when she was, I think it was either 6 or 8 or something like that. And she was a Borg for like...
Was it 7?
It could have been 7. Oh. No, she's 7 of 9 because there were 9 people when she was assimilated, I think, or there were 9 people in like her work unit on the Borg ship.
The Borg that do Borg stuff.
Yeah, and the Borg's doing Borg stuff, and she was one of them. She was 7 of 9 Borgs.
Yep, Borgs.
Plural
of Borgs is Borgses.
Borgses. There's a lot of S's.
I'm not under any substances. I've just been awake since 5.
That's okay. This is on you. Beck was like, hey, let's record it this time. Actually, let's do it an hour earlier. Hold on. I'm going to set it back in 15-minute increments for an hour.
Yep.
So we ended up at basically the original time. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So it sounded like you liked this one.
I did. I did like this one. I don't know that I would like this whole series. I think I liked The Next Generation more just from those 2 episodes that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I didn't feel compelled enough by any of the particular characters to be like, oh, I want to see more of this. And I also like overarching storyline from what you've told me is depressing.
Spoilers, but they get home. They get home. But yeah, it is. It's not an easy path. Yeah. It involves Borg stuff. You, I mean, people spoilers. Listening to this have probably already watched the show, would be my guess.
Spoilers.
I do have a watch list for this one as well that I had made when Alex had me making my watch list. But that is, if you were going to watch it, I would tell you to follow the watch list because it there are more downs in Voyager than in some of the other series. But it's the one I grew up with. It came out when I was 9. And so it's just the one I always watched. I watched from start to finish as it premiered or as new episodes came out. So I really like it. It's not thought of, it didn't used to be thought of very well amongst the fans. But I think in the wake of some of the new Star Trek stuff that people don't like, they're like, oh yeah, Voyager was good Star Trek, except for Captain Janeway, who we hate.
Yeah, I actually really liked Captain Janeway. I felt
I do too.
I would have I like to imagine the actress. That most of the critiques I like of the her character. Have to be because she's a lady captain.
But yeah, so I like Captain Janeway a lot. I like all of them. Like I've been rereading the Star Trek novels. I've read something like 51 or 52 and I still have 30 to go. And I was sad when I got to the end of Voyager ones because I've followed them for 30 years, right? So it was really nice. But I think they're good. I think it's a good show.
Yeah. I liked it. I didn't think it was bad, which is high praise for me, to be honest.
That is high praise. That's all I expect from you as we've been going through these is just like, yeah, that was I was okay watching that.
I didn't hate it. I don't know that I would go. I don't know that I would watch the show again. Right, like Next Generation. I did actually watch a couple episodes when I had COVID because I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. Just in order. But
yeah, there's so many more better episodes.
I don't know that I would go back and watch this one, but maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We'll figure it out. Maybe. When society collapses, I'll make sure I have all these downloaded and I'll be like, listen, we can just watch this and pretend like things are going to get better.
When what collapses?
Society. You know, the world we live in.
Oh. Yep.
Great. Mm-hmm. Good plan. Mm-hmm. 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 So, like I said, neither one of these was really a bad episode. I actually like both of these quite a bit. So I'm glad you didn't hate them. I'm so amused by how put off you were by Tuvix's appearance.
I'm sorry. I really hope that doesn't like offend any listeners.
Like, but Becca's really super shallow. You've got to remember that
it
about
was,
her.
No. It was the combination of like not only... It was just a double blow for me. It's like, not only are we going to make him the worst combination of personality traits, but he's also super ugly. Like,
yeah.
It just hurt me. It hurt me deeply.
He's got a weird look because trying to mix, I don't know, anything with Talaxian is not... Neelix was a Talaxian. It's just Talaxians look so weird as it is compared to humans.
Yeah.
I like Neelix, though. They're weird friends. Like, obviously... Tuvok kind of puts up with him, but at the end of the series, Neelix actually goes off. He finds some other Talaxians way away from where they actually are from, and he joins a colony there to help, like, kind of lead them and work with them, and he remains an ambassador to the Federation from out there, or I guess he's an ambassador for the Federation to the Delta Quadrant. And as he's leaving, they do the classic Star Trek thing of the whole crew assembles in the ship and he walks through them and they all kind of nod and he talks with the ones he knew. And at the end, it's Tuvok. And he's been trying to get Tuvok to dance or do anything fun for the whole series. And Tuvok sticks one foot out, heel down, toe up, wiggles the foot back and forth, and then puts it back. And Neelix is like, holy fucking shit, we did it. Tuvok had a fun. It's just very touching. So they figured out. Neelix grows on you over the show. He starts off super obnoxious, but then he kind of becomes almost like a counselor sometime, like just someone to talk to, little weird guy that mm-hmm. helps you through your problems.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of good episodes with the doctor that I wish you could see.
Yeah.
You said he's
but
not
Neelix what? Wasn't around for the second episode that I watched.
His character was still around. I think maybe he just wasn't in that episode.
Wasn't in at that all. One.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't do very much. Is he in the shot mm-hmm. on the bridge when they're doing the funeral?
Maybe.
Sorry, I'm on Memory Alpha looking to see because I don't remember. Oh, yeah, there he is. He's on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Standing next to his best friend, Tuvok.
Hell yeah.
But yeah. So that's Voyager. I actually love Voyager, unironically. I do recommend other ones. Nice. If you wanted to watch more, I can give you a whole list. But our next show is Enterprise, which was the most hated Star Trek in the world at that point. It takes place 100 years before Captain Kirk, to put you in the timeline. So it's about 2165, give or take. 56.
It's in the
mid 20s. It's interesting. Like, it's a prequel and it didn't need to be a prequel. It's like, why? We didn't have a ton of questions about that era. And it was the show that got canceled before it did 7 seasons. Like, Next Generation did 7 seasons, Deep Space Nine, Voyager 7 seasons, then this one only got 4. And the first year was the second year was, I don't know, not great. The third year, they tried this whole war storyline. And in the fourth year, they got a new showrunner, and mm-hmm. it actually got good. But they ended real terribly. We can talk about it more next week. But yes, Enterprise is our next one. And it's the last of the series from, like, what most people now would consider the classic era of Star Trek, which is kind of the original series or the original series movies through the end of Enterprise. Because after that, there was no Star Trek for... I think it was 5 years before they did the J.J. Abrams reboot movie. So it was so bad that they were like, we got to stop Star Trek until we figure out what's going on here. Okay.
All right.
Well, that's it from us here at A Star Is Trek. I've been Jessica. Thanks for your ears.
Now that's a Star Trek. Spocko.
Spocko.